How do you do? Although the man in this story grew up as the oldest of 12 children, he felt alone and like a complete stranger with his family. He felt unwanted by his parents. Desperate for love and acceptance, he tried the ways of the world but found love only when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Come on, Mom. You said the baby's due in late January.
How dare you question me, Rob?
Dad didn't come back home until July, right?
I'll tell you something, Smarty. The man you call Dad is not your father.
I don't believe you. That's not true.
It is. Your real father and I split up in the summer. Then I met Bob. He had never dated and was very naive. His mother tried to break us up, but he was hooked. We married in October. You were born in March.
Oh, so that's why Grandma never liked me. Didn't Dad figure it out? Who is my real dad?
You want the truth? I'll give you the truth, but it's not what you want to hear.
Offering hope to those who have none, this is Unshackled, True Life Stories, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The arrivals come in all ages, from babies to the elderly, all backgrounds, from highly educated to illiterate. But the homeless have this in common. They all need help. Every day, more than 800 men, women, and children find shelter at Pacific Garden Mission. And thanks to friends who care enough to send financial gifts, they receive nourishing meals, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep at night. Even medical and dental care are given free in the mission clinic. To help them change direction, however, more is needed. Pastors and counselors share the bread of life, the truth that many have never heard before, the truth that can set them free. And that same truth goes out to the world in 10 languages through this program, celebrating new life. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3107 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Everyone in the family knew that you were not wanted, certainly not on your dad's side. Because of you, the man I loved left me, and my life was ruined all because of you. Abortion wasn't legal in 1957, but if it had been legal, you wouldn't be here today. You would never have been born. If I could do it all over again, I would scrape up the money and find someone to do the abortion.
Incredible words from a mother to her teenage son, but this was just a sample of the many blows he had received and those to come. This is the true testimony of a man we're calling Rob Reteran right now on Unshackled.
Mom often left us kids alone even when she wasn't working. Dad worked two jobs, came home, and slept in a chair in spite of the noise around him. At age 4, I discovered my baby brother floating in a bathtub and tried desperately to get him out, but I was too small. Soaked by my efforts, I ran and woke Dad. It seemed that everyone blamed me for his death, and I certainly felt responsible. I must have felt rejection early in life because my favorite place was behind the sofa where I learned to read. When I was in the second grade, I experienced another traumatic event. Our house caught fire. I woke my brothers and sisters and got them out of the house but couldn't find Mother. Choking on smoke, I ran outside and found her standing in the street embracing the kids, but she didn't touch me. We had to move in with Dad's parents, and Grandma's hatred was released on me.
Oh!
It's your fault that my son's life is ruined! He was supposed to go to college! He could have had a real career! But he had to go and meet that worthless woman, your mother! Because of her, and especially you, my son has no future!
Every day I endured her wrath until we moved into the next house. We moved often, which meant different schools and fresh bullies. Being new, I was a target because my clothes were old and ratty. My favorite uncle, Mom's brother Ben, taught me to fight.
Robbie, kid, don't let the names bother you. You act like you don't care. Never, ever change the look on your face and never take your eyes off a bully. You don't ever answer his challenges. You just react to him and you wait for him to come to you and watch. When his arm bends just before he makes his fist, bingo, you strike first.
I had no problem with bullies after that. My uncle taught me to smoke cigarettes and drink and many other things that I was too young to know. I saw Mom with men and I understood her infidelity. I saw them from the treehouse I built. When I was 10, Dad got a promotion that meant moving out of state, and Mom woke me up at 6 in the morning to tell me I was being left behind. Well, when the job fell through, I wanted to laugh, but I didn't dare. One day, while I was cutting the neighbor's grass, a car stopped and a woman motioned to me.
Do you know the family that lives next door?
Yeah.
How many people live there?
10, 2 adults.
Have you ever been inside the house?
Mm-hmm.
What's it like?
Oh, it's a mess. Trash everywhere.
Do both parents work?
I think so.
Are the children ever left alone?
Yeah, most of the time.
Oh, well, how do the parents treat the kids?
Mostly they ignore them. They take care of themselves.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll look into this.
My parents got wind of the social worker's plan to visit, and we spent hours cleaning the house, taking bags of trash away. Mom made me stay up half the night scraping crud off the kitchen floor. When I was in 7th grade, my parents bought a house, and I immediately built a new treehouse. I was only 13 when Dad got me a job at the newspaper where he worked. I worked after school and excelled.
Your dad says you earn more working hourly than the adults that work there earn during the day.
Well, I don't take as many breaks, and I watch to see how I can improve on the jobs done by others, Mom.
Good. Well, we want you to learn about finance because you're so responsible. You bring your pay home to me, and we'll deduct your expenses for food, school books, and other things. Then we'll deposit the rest in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you'll have enough money to buy a car when you're 16.
Oh, wow, really? Oh, that sounds great, Mom.
Now keep track of all of your expenses, and we'll both keep track of your savings. When you've saved enough, we'll get you a CD at the bank.
I liked working hard towards a goal and made more money than any of the other kids working there. I always kept a little extra money, so I began inviting girls to my treehouse where we smoked pot and drank beer, but I never let those things interfere with my job. That summer, a couple in the neighborhood invited me to church camp.
Church camp?
Yeah, it's like a free vacation, Ma.
Well, what about your job?
The camp is only for a week, and it's out of state.
Oh, what a waste of time.
I want to go. I've never been anywhere, Mom.
Sounds stupid to me. Besides, I hate religion.
Oh, come on. I'm going, Mom. I work hard, and I deserve a vacation. Mom practiced many occult acts, which caused me nightmares when I was younger. We never went to church, so I was determined to go to that camp. There, I heard about sin and God. These subjects were foreign to me.
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Don't gossip and don't be a snob. These things seem right, they're natural acts, but they lead to other things. Sin is never singular. One act of disobedience leads to another. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." You young people will face many temptations in the world day after day. But the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." These verses are good, but they're hard to obey. You'll need God to help you. In James chapter 4, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Now maybe you think you're not so bad, but the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So that includes you. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." That means you face eternal damnation in hell unless you come to Jesus Christ for salvation. If you want to come to Jesus, tell one of the counselors and they'll help you. The Bible is a guide for life, and if you read it and memorize it, God will teach you new things. The psalmist wrote, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God loves you, and he offers you a new life in Jesus Christ, his Son.
Amen.
I didn't get it, and I soon joined other kids like me who smoked and did illicit things. Coming home was the hardest part. All the other kids had parents to greet them. I was alone. Feelings of loneliness engulfed me like never before, and I cried myself to sleep in my treehouse. Dad had always forsaken everything to please Mom, but he could never live up to her demands. Finally, she left Dad and moved in with an older man. She made all of us kids go with her. I hated that guy and was glad when they had a big fight and Mom left. Then he and I got into a fight. I told my uncle about it later.
Yeah, kid, I heard about that altercation.
Well, when I decided to leave, he tried to block my way.
Hey, Robbie, I taught you well. You give him a broken nose and a fractured jaw.
Yeah, I double punched him.
Yeah, your mom came back and found him in the yard. She called the paramedics.
Yeah, I wonder what he told them.
Oh, said he fell off a ladder.
I'd found a hidden room at work above the mailroom where I slept most of the time. One day, Dad came to work all smiles. He and Mom were back together, and Mom now had a job at the newspaper, too. Although pregnant, she made deliveries to the carriers, and one Sunday she made me go with her. That's when we got into a fight, and she revealed the sordid past. I went to my uncle for solace.
Hey, come on, buddy. Don't let it get you.
I'm nothing but a mistake. I mean nothing to the whole family.
Kid, Mom and Dad always loved you.
Yeah, well, it's the only place I felt safe and
just
peaceful.
Just get on with your life, Rob. Someday you're going to be on your own.
Can't be soon enough for me.
Look, kid, you're 16 now. I'll help you buy a car, okay? How much you got saved anyway?
$5,000, according to my records.
$5,000? Hey, let's meet with your parents and get the money.
You called this meeting, Rob. What's it about?
Oh, Mom, I want the money I've saved.
Did you get some girl pregnant?
No. Uncle Ben found a car for me. I made a deposit. Now, I need the rest of my money, Mom.
There is no money.
There's no... Mom, what are you talking about? I saved more than $5,000.
Now, how do you think we bought the house and paid the utility bills and bought Christmas presents?
Mom, what? You used my savings?
There was no savings. We just told you that so you'd help the family.
How could you do that to me, Mom?
You should be glad you helped us.
You're an awful mother. How can you live with yourself?
We'll hear how this pivotal moment affected Rob in just a moment. Have you ever visited Pacific Garden Mission? Well, you can visit by going to our website, unshackled.org. There you can tour the new facilities, beginning with a spectacular aerial shot of the entire mission and on to closer looks at the inside, like the medical and dental clinic or the chapel. You can also learn the history of the oldest continuously operating rescue mission in the country, complete with pictures. If you click on Unshackled, you can listen online to dramas going back to 2003, many in Spanish. Or you can order one of our story booklets that retells an Unshackled drama just as it was broadcast, but in a format that can be used as an evangelism tool, handy to give to others. If you click on Radio Log, you will see where this program is broadcast around the world and in which language. At unshackled.org, you can submit a prayer, order books and programs in foreign languages, or even submit your testimony for consideration as an Unshackled drama. Visit unshackled.org soon, or write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Mom watched my anguish and smiled a familiar but sickening smile. My uncle found another car, a red convertible that needed work, but we fixed it up to be a beauty. but the title was put in Mom's name since I was a minor. Then I got a place of my own, buying what I needed at garage sales. I acted older than 16 because I had almost 4 years' experience at the newspaper.
Oh, kid, nice place.
Yeah, I can have some great parties here once I get the utilities turned on.
Well, is there a problem?
Everywhere I go, they accuse me of owing them money, past due accounts.
How can that be?
Every time Mom and Dad were evicted for non-payment, they put utilities in a different name. Oh. Mine are my brothers and sisters.
Hey, don't worry. I'll help you straighten it out.
I already did. The utilities companies came down hard on my parents for their scams, and boy, I enjoyed exposing their dishonesty. Never mind that I was dishonest and emotionally abusive to others myself. One night, my mom brought her old lover to work with her. Dad stood back as she explained that he was the father of my youngest sister.
He's willing to sign away his parental rights and not disrupt the family.
Why are you telling me? I don't care. It has nothing to do with me.
Well, there's a price.
No, you're not getting any more of my money, Mom.
He wants your convertible.
You can't have my car.
The car is in my name. I've given him the title, so give me the keys.
Someday you'll get exactly what's coming to you. I cried as she gave me that pitiless smile. A year later, the manager at work took me to lunch and asked about my parents' misuse of company assets. I told him what I'd seen, though it meant my parents would lose their jobs. Payback was sweet, but left a bitter aftertaste. I graduated, went away to college, but that's when depression hit. My illicit lifestyle and the emptiness that was always present left me unable to concentrate. I returned home, defeated. The newspaper took me back, and I sank into drinking and drugs. I met a girl one night who was unstable, and I pitied her and let her move in with me.
You're late! You were seeing some other girl, weren't you?
No, I came straight home. Besides, we're not married.
We're a couple.
I let you move in with me. You don't own me.
Well, we'll see about that. I need your car tomorrow.
Nobody uses my car. Besides, you don't even have a license.
You could help me get one if you cared about me.
If you're unhappy, here, leave.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you? I've had a horrible life and you want to make it worse. Well, I'm not going anywhere.
She was worse than my mom, and I didn't know how to get rid of her. To get away from her, I applied for a government grant to attend a vocational school in a city 80 miles away. When I got the grant, I gave notice at work and told her she wasn't going with me.
You can't leave me behind!
I'm going alone. I'll have to study.
I'm going with you!
No, you're not! Hey, you almost hit my head, Gail.
I'd do more than that!
Oh, stop it, Gail, or I'll throw you out! Now look what you did. Look, lamps cost money, you know. Everything here costs me money. You need to get your act together, Gail.
I'm sorry, Rob. I don't know what I'll do without you. I don't know what got into me. Please forgive me.
A week later, she told me she was pregnant. With a smile like my mom's, she told me after work, presenting a hospital form to verify her claim. My life was ruined. I was drunk when we got married, and it only took 5 minutes. Then we moved to the city. I finished the course 3 months early and got a job working 10-hour days. We fought constantly, but when our daughter was born, I experienced a depth of love for my little girl that I never realized could exist. I never wanted kids before, but she's beautiful, Gail.
Yeah, she ruined my body.
I'm a father now. I'll take care of her and protect her as long as I live.
What about me? You don't care about me.
Now, don't start.
What were you doing while I was in the hospital?
I was working, and you know it.
Liar! I know you were cheating on me.
Gail's violent temper grew worse. Accusations came every night at the end of my day. She fixed only enough supper for herself and frequently locked me out of my own bedroom. One Friday, I came home and found a note taped to the television. She'd be gone a few days, staying with her sister. She'd left our 3-month-old daughter in the crib alone. Sunday night, she came home. Before speaking a word, she slapped me.
Oh! Why were you checking up on me? You called my whole family! family.
Well, you left our baby alone. I was looking for you.
Nobody ever believes me.
She was wet and hungry and crying when I came home from work. How could you do that, Gail?
I have a kid forced on me 24 hours a day. I had to get away.
Gail, now look, I found men's clothing in the closet and they're not mine.
I can't believe how you treat me. You do respect me. I hate you.
She went berserk, throwing dishes at me, so I grabbed the baby and went outside. I heard her breaking everything she could find. The police came and took a report from each of us, not the first time neighbors had called. But it wasn't until I took a second job that I began to understand why my life was so messed up. On that job, the radio played all day. Christian music, Bible programs, and speakers like I'd never heard before.
Friends, do you, like so many others, have an aching emptiness in your life? Do you long for some purpose greater than anything you've experienced, greater than the next paycheck? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven, don't they? I know about riches and a king who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you know him? He knows you and loves you so much that he gave his life for you. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. If you feel afflicted and your life is filled with grief, friends, come to Jesus now and let him change your life.
Day after day, I listened to these speakers as my employers tried to influence me for Christ. And night after night, I had terrible nightmares.
Wow! What?
What now?
A nightmare. I was in a muddy hole, and I couldn't get out. Every time I tried to escape, I slid backwards, Gail.
Oh, go back to sleep.
No, it was so real. A voice kept saying I was worthless.
Yeah, well, it's true. Why don't you get some gumption and find a real job?
No, now leave me alone.
You're the one that woke me up. You're a bigger baby than our little girl.
I'm gonna go sleep on the sofa. That was the norm for us. Then one night I came home and Gail was gone again. This time she took our baby and their personal belongings. I looked everywhere, but they'd vanished. I had no purpose for living. Life was a horrific nightmare and I wanted it to end. My only recourse was death and whatever comes. No one would care, and I'd be free. I decided to pull my car out in front of a semi. As I lurched into his path, he swerved and I instinctively screamed and turned away, missing him by inches. I cried until I was too weak to walk. A few days later, Gail came home and wouldn't answer my questions, but issued ultimatums to me. I considered my options, then decided to talk to my coworkers. At lunchtime over several days, I told them my entire history.
And now your wife is back, but she won't say where she's been.
Yeah, she says I have to accept that or she'll leave permanently and I'll never see my daughter again.
Your daughter's important to you, isn't she?
She's my only reason for living.
God has a greater purpose for your life than that, Rob.
I've been listening to the speakers on the radio, but I really don't know much about God.
All you need to know about him is revealed in the Bible and in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." God's character is best seen in this verse from the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
I wouldn't want this life to go on forever.
Rob, we all belong to someone. We all answer to one of two masters, the Lord Jesus Christ or the devil. You have to make a choice.
I've been making choices all my life, mostly without asking anyone. And look how I've messed up. Look, I admit the decisions were mine. I have no one to blame but myself for the mess I'm in.
This decision is different. Your eternal destiny depends on what you do with Jesus and the cross. Do you believe that he died for your sins and rose again?
They continued to answer my questions about life from the Bible. I really wanted to do this right because I could see that they had something that was called blessings and it had something to do with obedience. One day when I had asked and they had answered all that I needed to know for salvation, they left me alone to ponder my decision. I began to pray, repenting and confessing my sins to God. Immediately, I felt an internal struggle similar to the nightmares, but I spoke the name of Jesus over and over and over as I asked him to save me. I walked out the door with my arms lifted up to God in victory. I did it! I'm saved!
Praise the Lord, Rob.
Even the air seems cleaner.
The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
I can see that already.
Just remember, trials and troubles will still come your way, but you won't be alone. The Holy Spirit has come to live in you, and he will never leave you alone.
Next week, in the conclusion of his testimony, we'll hear how Rob's new life would affect his marriage and family. We hope this true story has helped you to see the futility of life without God's love and truth. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The Lord Jesus Christ lives and wants to save you. You can have deliverance now, wherever you are, by repenting of your sins, asking him in your own words to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. He knows your heart. If you need counsel in making this life-changing decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3107. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410.